open the eyes of my heart. I want to see
you. Bless you, buddy, buddy.
I want to see you. How do you want to see him? See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Amen. Lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. You love him? Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Amen and amen and amen. I want to see him, don't you? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We was looking out there, was in the back a while ago, and I said, there's a couple of holes in the back. Did everybody go home? But, maybe not everybody, but amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like turning your scriptures, turn to where we've been reading in Revelations 1. And now remember, I forgot to announce it this morning. Most of you know him, Brother Donnie Moore, that goes up to Brother Richard Wilson's. He had a 4-bypass heart open surgery, or what you call it, 4-bypass. He had one that was blocked 100, and one that blocked 90, and two of them blocked 60. And, you know, so he had that, and he's come through it real fine. But just pray for him, because he's going to need prayer and everything, you know, from the people. So remember that. Remember Brother Gibby's preaching, Lord willing, our preaching down at Brother Harris's today. So remember that. And I'm sure my wife wants to thank all of you for all of the gifts and cards and the notes and the things and the thank you. And we certainly want to thank you for all of the food, because it was wonderful. And if I get to burping, if you burp, we'll call a burp an amen this afternoon. You know, so if y'all get to burping, I'll say, man, they're in the spirit now. But, we'll do that. But, all right, just remember to pray one for another. Is that all the announcements anymore that we have? I don't think so. Okay. Two, we did with the Dave Ramsey class, we did pay for all of the ones from the church here that went, and we will pay for this time coming around for everybody that wants to go to that. And you say, well, why would you want to pay for them to do that? Well, if you can save as much money as it's been saved, some of you moved debts around and got the finances better, we are going to be facing some tight times, and I really suggest you get your finances in order, because, you know, we may be in some tight things coming up, and also just do that. All right, but let's pray before we read our scripture. Father, we thank you and we love you, and we ask you, Lord, to just help each and every one of us and guide each one of us in thine understanding, Lord, and let your love be with us. Forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and just keep us, Lord. Come and speak to us this afternoon by your Spirit into our hearts, that we may speak to your people. But we truly believe faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Guide us now. Forgive our sins, because that's where we want to stand complete in you. We don't want nothing to be a hindrance whatsoever between us, Lord. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been reading this. We'll read this scripture every service, because it's the whole point. All right. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by a record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we're trying to cover some things, and, you know, I hope it helps you, because to, you know, get a good understanding. Got some comments about the morning's message, and you know, I'm just trying my best to get us to a place that we can be anchored in the Word and not carried about by every wind of doctrine and idea, but just stand on it. And, you know, it's been quite a controversial thing over the people of the message of the things Brother Branham has said. And, you know, but if we just wait, I know one person said, like from the Feast of the Trumpets, that Brother Branham made so many slips of the tongue it couldn't be understood, but he said it was "Thus saith the Lord." Well, you know, I don't think he made slips of the tongue. I think what he done is he spoke by revelation. And when you speak by revelation, it's going to automatically wind up, you know, looking odd, because as I said this morning about that scripture where it said, Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep." He didn't say, "I'm the door of the sheepfold." That's fine. That's over another scripture, you know, that he is that door. But there where we was used in John 10:7, I think, that, you know, "I am the door of the sheep." And see, that's what I want him to be. I want him to be my whole goal, my revelation, my desires, my thoughts, and everything is to be based upon him. And that's what we're trying to do, is get that understanding to us of the Word of God. But it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. The entire Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. But see, then we found that we were in a day and time maybe of thinking about a revelation of Jesus Christ, even after we come in the message, and it was right to try to understand about Jesus himself, and that was good. But then we come to find out that, well, all of the time he's been trying to get us to see where he's at. And I've always said it that way. I said, you know, we've spent 6,000 years trying to prove there's a God up in heaven, and God has spent 6,000 years trying to prove he's down here with us. Looks like we'd get that right eventually, you know, and be able to move on with the whole thing. But see, we always try to figure it out, and when we try to figure it out, then we will miss it by trying to interpret it. You know? And that's why we try to wait. I've seen things and had things in my heart, and sometimes keep them as much as 20 to 30 years before I'd ever attempt to preach on it. Because if I can't see it by revelation, then what's in the need of me just making an intellectual speech, you know, of giving you the quotes and the things. And also, when you hear me preach, you know for sure that there is something that I'm trying to get across to you that the Lord spoke to me about. And it may not be in one message. It may take 10 to get off one thought, you know, to the people and to get it caught up. All right. So now, what I want us to do is go back to quote number 8 on the morning's message and review that just a little bit and, you know, try to get to a point to see something. Now, we covered this morning that, and been covering how that John was a type of the rapture. Well, now, as I've tried to bring out this morning to you, that John was typing it. Well, now, we've been 2,000 years almost from that time, and the rapture itself hasn't transpired yet. But John spoke of it back there. And what's happening now is exactly what he spoke of there, you know, and was given unto him to bring unto us and all. But it doesn't mean, see, that, well, like people say, well, the Lord came in 63. And, you know, and they say, well, there he was. I can prove it to you. He said, look at that. Said the prophet went out in Arizona and he met the angels of the Lord. He come back with the seals and this, that, and the other. And so the Lord came in 63. Well, you know, that was only Brother Branham. Because if he didn't speak it, and what few did catch it while he was preaching on the seals and things, you know, some people caught it, but most of the bases of people didn't catch it, you know. And so then it's something that I've tried to get you to say and look at. The Bible is speaking to you and I. All right? It's revealing Christ. But is Christ the mystery of God revealed? I believe it's page 74 that the prophet said the bride is part of the mystery and must be revealed. Well, then if you just went through the book of Revelations and speaking only of Jesus, then where would you be? Like I told you, you won't see him in Revelations by himself. He's in bride form. Because why? Because on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, he's been in bride form ever since then. That was the form of God. That is the form of God. All right, we'll get to it maybe Wednesday on some things. But Brother Brown said he come down through the church ages as Son of God. But said then right in the end time, he'll come forth as Son of Man. Well, he's got to do that before he can go to the millennium to fulfill the scriptures, you know, and fulfill what we'll get to Wednesday, you know, about the throne of God. All right. But now, we were trying to get that point across this morning that I believe it's a day and a time to understand, as we read or spoke of there in Revelation 1:3. This is the time to understand. This is a time now to do what? This is the time to be caught up, rapture. The word rapture, remember the prophet says not even in the Bible. It said it's the word caught up. All right. This is the time for us to be caught up in the revelation of what the prophet has brought to us. All right. Now, there's your rapture. See, because it'll be a change in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. Is what we talk about rapture, you know, gone off the earth. But if we're not caught up into the revelation and prepared for the moment, then we're not going to be in that group that will be changed in a moment, twinkle of an eye. We may have to go by the grave. And I've said that 40 years ago, that the biggest portion of the people in the end time would have to go by the grave because we would not be, I said we would not be able to have the thing to change us in a moment, twinkle of an eye. And that's fine with me if I have to go that way. It's not degrading nobody, but it's the truth. Somebody's going to have to stand there that can look death right in the face and say, get out of here. You don't have no part to do with me. Just go on. Huh? You say, well, we will never do that. Well, the prophet said we would, so I believe it. And why can't we believe that we're part of it? You know, I mean, if it can be done, I want to be part of what's being done. All right. But now, John being caught up, see, is a type of the bride. All right. Then we were covering how that John had an experience. Now, let's see. I'm trying to think of how it was preached years ago to get, I may miss it a little, but think about it that John never saw his own experience. Now, sure, he's in the part of the body of Christ, and you don't understand. But John didn't necessarily see his own experience. He did because, as I said, now he was in the body, part of it, all right? But what he saw was the experience that you and I are going to have. Because if he saw his experience, now listen, and that's all he saw, then he was in the grave. Are you understand? So you say, well, John saw his experience. Well, he's in the grave. See? But he saw somebody that had an experience, that is going to have an experience upon this earth to be able to be changed. All right? So then he would be only speaking of what is here in the end time. You understand what I'm saying about that? That he had his own experience. But with his experience, he's in the grave. Somebody's going to have the experience of not going by the grave. All right? Well, why can't we believe we're part of it? You know, I mean, somebody's got to be it. Why not? You know, why not us? And just be into that point. All right? Now, so let's see if we can be caught up in the revelation, you know, of our walk each day in the life that we're living. But now let's go back to where we were this morning. Ending it up by covering it, and then we're going to cover this afternoon about the Revelations 4 to 19 and see what's going on. So let's just go back and start with a little bit at the top. Now, immediately after he showed the end of the age of his work here, he went on up into heaven. Now, that's Jesus, you know, going up. See, said, I'll show you what's going to be after this, after the church age. He said, John, I can't tell you down here no more. Now, remember when we got down to Paul? See, Paul couldn't tell it. It wasn't time. It wasn't time to tell what Paul saw. All right? Now, do you think he's not going to tell us? You know, I mean, somewhere he's going to come forth and speak about it. Well, maybe we'll be down to the eternities, you know, and receiving, all right? But now look, that I can't tell you down here no more, because I've left down here. I've come up higher. Come up here with me, and I'll show you what's going to take place hereafter. Oh, my. Oh, caught up in the vision, caught up in the glory. His experience now, his experience is to see these things. Like Paul's experience to see these things. But remember, Paul and John, with the experience they had, are in the grave. Now, waiting on somebody to have an experience that will bring them out. All right? Now, think on those things. See? His experience must have been something like that of Paul's. 2 Corinthians 12, 2-4. If you're putting it down, 2 Corinthians 2, 4. Paul was caught up one day to a vision. Did you know that? And he saw things that wasn't expedient for him to even talk about. 14 years, never even mentioned it, see? But listen at the difference between them. Now, the difference between John and Paul. Paul couldn't write his. But John, you're going to see, could write his. What Paul saw, he was forbidden to speak of. It are to put it out to the public. Oh my. I don't believe he could do it. For a little trip I took one day, I never got over it and never will, see. And he saw things that he couldn't talk about. I guess he didn't have words to. He was caught up in the third heavens, though, see, up into the third heaven. Now how different when John was caught up and seen Jesus. Now John couldn't express it. I mean, Paul couldn't express it. John is going to express it, all right? And not even that, he's going to write it down. But remember what I said now. When he wrote it down, he wrote symbols. He put it in symbolics, all right? See, meaning the end would have to be over here. How different when John was caught up and seen Jesus, he was said, write it in a book, what you have seen, and give it back. Send it back to the churches. Paul was forbidden to speak, and John was even asked to put it in a book so it would go all down through the ages. Oh my, it's revealed now. To be revealed in this last days, it wasn't revealed in his days, it's revealed now as we go along. All right, now think of it. John is told to write it down. But he was told to put it in symbols. All right. See, knowing then that in the end time, the prophet would come to show it. And that's what I was talking about this morning. And when John gets over in Revelation 10:7 and writing, he's knowing that all of these things has got to go back to the church. But he's wondering how in the world he can get it there. How he could get it back to the church. But then it strikes him. But the seventh angel is going to be a prophet. Right? So then that's the point that we're dwelling on. But now think about what I'm saying. John writes about the church. Right? He writes about the church. He writes what's going to take place. Read those church ages when you get time, and especially to the overcomer. And watch this coming Wednesday night when we get to it, because look at the Laodicean overcomer. Sit with me in my throne as I've overcome, sit my Father in his throne. Right. See, then we'll begin to pick up a little bit and understand some things about what's going on. All right? Now, but think about it. Paul couldn't write it. John told to write it. Send it to the church ages. But leave it in symbol. Waiting for the end time to be able to understand. So when John sees in Revelation 4:1 a door open in heaven, He didn't see a door. Sure he did. But he knew it was Jesus. He heard a voice. He knew it was the voice of Jesus. All of those things getting him ready to come to that point. Now let's go to number 9, because I want you to think about this statement. It's a kind of a weird statement. This is taken from our guide, A Guide, 1962, 1014, evening service, paragraph 7. And now the next time, I want you just to read it. Are you reading it now? And now the next time, as far as I know, it's 1962. Watch it. As far as I know, to be with you will be after the church is completed. Well, I can read it right there and show Brother Brown in 1962. He was gone and wasn't coming back till the church is completed. Are we completed? We said, no, we're not completed. Well, then, see, Brother Brown says a lot of things. And you know what? A lot of it is still in symbols. Right? Read the quote. I had this quote and I throwed it in the trash. I pulled it back out and said, I'll put it back in. I didn't see it a while ago why I put it back in. I said, well, I'll put it back in. It just, you know. And now the next time, as far as I know, to be with you will be after the church is completed. Now, he's probably talking about the building, because they were working on the building. All right? Now, but think about what he's saying. And I want to then, after the church ages, there we want to go then to the seven life seals. Now he's telling you what he's done. He's waiting for them to complete the building. Right? And he's done priests on the church ages. So can you see what John done? John wrote the church ages, but never lived to see them fulfilled. Right? Does that change anything? Does that make any difference? Because John is not alive today on the earth. No, it makes it right. John writes to the church ages, sends it to the church ages. Then he goes on and he sees the seals and the thing. Exactly what Brother Branham was doing. He finished the church ages, and then the seals broke to the prophet, and he preached it. After the church is completed, I'm going to come back. And it was. Because that, you know, they started having services. And then they had the seals. All right? But get the point. John sees these things and writes them and sends them to the churches that he's not even come into being yet. Right? AD 95, all within being was the first church age. First church age started AD 53. About 150. AD 53 to 150. All right? But yet he's sending them to the church. And Brother Branham sent it to the church. All right? It's up to God to reveal it. So John's actually writing about the things that would take place in the church ages, and sending them to the church ages before the ages even started, other than the first one. You see that? Then why would we argue and fuss or think about, you know, what I was talking about this morning on Revelations 10:7? And thinking, well, Brother Branham's got to be over there, when he said the bride's not over there. See, why would we think that? Why not think it like John? John, what are you going to do? I'm going to write this down. And I done been told who to mail it to. You know, is that the way you'd put it in our language today? I've been told to write it down and mail it to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos. You know, all right. And before they even started, he's telling them what's going to be in each age. Is that a problem? Is it a problem for Brother Branham to stand here and tell us all the way to the change of the body and him have to die and go by the grave and waiting on you and I? Is it any trouble? See, we got to have it all in chronologically laid out to try to keep our thinking right. Well, if you'll study it right, you'll see it is identically, chronologically correct. John is writing to the age before the age ever starts. Telling of the bad of it, but telling of the good of it. Telling of Laodicea and how they would be an angel messenger. They would understand. Right? And it would be completed. After the church is completed. He had to wait on something. Did Brother Branham make a statement like this? He said, I've got to step back, or if ever I use the word, and fall back. He said, waiting on this to catch up over here. He said, now nothing's sinful now, you know. He wasn't going to go out and, you know, go wrong. He emphasized that. I guess people was thinking, where's he going? You know? But he said, I can't progress any further. He said, I'm going to have to wait until this catches up over here. Well, I think we've had 40 years, 40-something now, for the world to catch up. And I think we ought to be able to look around and see it's done caught up pretty good, you know, in what's taking place of the day and the hour that we're living. And it's time to understand. But now, what I want us to deal with this afternoon will be the point of seeing Revelations 4 through 19, and the bride's not here. But you know what I love about it? You know that it shows us. You know that John was shown back there that the lady of seeing age would take a rapture. John was shown that contrary to the religious society, that the bride would not have to go through the tribulation. See, you may only take that as a quote, but to me it's an actual laying in order of scriptures and things. It's a great meaning that the bride don't have to go through the tribulation. Tribulation is the wrath of God poured out upon the earth. It's not these plagues. This is a amateur tribulation that's happening now that you're seeing people dying. Like I've always emphasized, you'll find the book of Revelation. It tells you about a drastic thing happening and like 7,000 men dies. Well, that's drastic. But what about over there in that Toshami, or how you say those words, you know? 200,000. You think we're not in the end time? Look around. It ought to let us know that we're in the end time. But that's one thing I like about it. So let's just cover with that just a minute of what your prophet had to say. And maybe you'd never thought about why would it be that he would emphasize that we're going to miss the tribulation. Do you realize that under Catholicism, everybody goes to hell? That last pope that died, he went to hell. Now, that's their doctrine. Huh? Jehovah, Gehenna, Hades, whatever words they want to use. But, you know, they found out that that last one, he done so good that he only has a whistle stop. You know. And you know what they use that hell for, and they threaten you with it, and then you got to pay your people out of purgatories, you know. So many things, you know, mounts up to so many penances, mounts up to so many days off. So many good deeds gets you so many days off. So everybody gives every dime they got to the Catholic Church in order to get a free trip to heaven. Well, we're in a day when, like Stephen Wilson said, nobody goes to hell, so they're going to have to do away with it, I guess, because everybody's preached into heaven. You know. Well, you know why they preached into heaven, don't you? Because who's giving the money to the preacher that preaches them to heaven? He said, what do you do, Brother Dale? I had my brother-in-law passed away just recently. I'm just honest. I just told it like it is. If he had said to me, he said, we want you to preach his funeral, I'd have preached to the congregation sitting in front of him, wouldn't have mentioned him. Because I don't know where he was in heaven or not. But they had him in heaven raising tomatoes. Because he'd done a good job raising tomatoes on earth. And they had him up there and had a job already for him. But you see, that's where they get their money from. Now, what would it do? How would it last, Brother Colley, if all the preachers got up and preached all the people that rolled down in the casket, preached them into hell? Now, I think you'd have an empty church in a hurry, wouldn't you? Because everybody, see, still got that same way, one form or another. And there's a threatening form to it. If you leave us, you do away with this, and you know, you find that in the message a lot, right? You find that to where the preachers in this message say, you leave this church, you're in trouble. Now, a lot of them says that. Yeah. Well, you know, that's that same old thing as purgatories and paying to get out. You know, that if you double married and ain't got much money, you're not too good in the church in this message. They might accept you a little bit, but if you're very rich, you're a deacon or a preacher. Right? Come on. Why not tell it like it is? You know? I mean, you got some advantages if you got a good billfold. Because that's purgatories. See, thereby the religious society held over mankind that we're going to a tribulation period. So when Brother Branham began to preach that the bride would not go through the tribulation, I'm sure he was not well accepted upon that point. Don't you? Because it had been taught to the people ever since it's born and all that. We've got to all go through the tribulation. What's the difference in saying we all got to go to tribulation or saying we all got to go to purgatory? You know, what's the difference? It's just different words. All turns out to be the same problem. It's the wrath of God purging us. And Brother Branham, what did he keep emphasizing? He said, now you mean if you marry a wife that you're going to put her through, before you marry her, you're going to put her through tests and trials and torment to see if she's going to stand it? Man said one time, and I won't hold no further on it, but he had his wife living out in a house out in the country with no running water, no nothing. And he said, my wife stood the test. I'm going to move her into town, get her some running water. I have to admit, I wanted to give him some running water. I'm honest. I didn't like it. All of that business I didn't care for. All right? But listen, church. Why would the prophet would emphasize, you know, why would you think that you'd have to go through persecution in the tribulation to purge you? It means you don't believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to take care of it. Said, done, is that enough? It means you don't think the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient. So you're going to need a purging. So you're going to go through the tribulation then for a purging. The prophet said, we don't do that. Now that meant a lot to him. It certainly means a lot to me. To think about that somebody can believe God enough to where there's not any purging to have to be done. All right, with that in mind now, let's just read a couple of quotes the prophet had on it. Then we'll get over it, and you'll see these will all just tie right together, how the bride will go up. And that's the reason she goes up. So look at number 10. See, the reason she goes up is a real reason why. This is 1962, 602, taking sides with Jesus, paragraph 55, 56, 57, which we realize in Revelation is just 1, 2, 3 chapters to the church. The church goes up in the 4th chapter. It does not return anymore till the 19th chapter. In other words, it don't come back to earth. You remember this morning that we said we would be showing that Brother Branham would say that the bride goes up and not seen no more or something like that to Revelation 19. It's not seen no more on earth. She's gone up in a rapture. All right? Now, it does not return again, turn anymore till the 19th chapter. That's after the tribulation period when God calls out the Jews. It's in the tribulation that God calls the Jews out, right? Now, that's right. And like Enoch, he went up before one drop of rain ever hit the earth. He was gone. Then the tribulation set in. Now, I'm going to ask you, how many of you, but I'm going to be honest in answering it myself. I'd always connected that Enoch would walk off the earth. But it looked like that Noah and them would go through the tribulation. You better read what's right there and find out what Noah represents and things. But watch. That's right, not one drop of rain. He was gone, the tribulation set in. Noah was in the ark. He didn't say he didn't ride up and come over. Right? He had hard times, but he was in the ark. No tribulation to Noah. He was in the ark. He just rode up and rode over. All right? Watch now. Before any tribulation, say, Lot was out of Sodom. As bad as Lot was, he was out of Sodom before any tribulation set in. See? And the church will be gone before any tribulation period. Now, during the tribulation period, that will be the sleeping virgins will be hunted down and all of the things and the multitudes will be killed. But get the point. Enoch went up. Even Noah was in the ark. And Lot was out of Sodom. So no wonder Brother Brown says you have no scripture. If you get the point of what I'm talking about, if we're going to say, well, we got scripture for going, he'd say, where's your scripture? They'd say, Noah. You know, Noah, he was in the tribulation. Well, Brother Brown said, no, he was in the ark. Might have been trouble going on outside, but he's in the ark. They might have said, well, Lot, look at him. He'd say, yeah, but Lot was out of Sodom before the fire rained down. There's no scripture whatsoever can put the bride of Christ in the tribulation. But what are you going to purge her for if the blood of Jesus Christ purges us? Now, if you don't believe it purges enough, then I guess that's right, you know. You could think that about it. Look at the next one. Now, watch all these. We'll be tied together now. We'll start tying it together with the revelations where the bride goes up. This is the breach between the church age and the seals, paragraph 23, 63, 317, evening. Now we're going to turn to the 5th chapter. And this is not the seals. It's the breach between the church ages and the seven seals. Now there is also a sixth chapter. And there was a fourth chapter, rather, of Revelation. And in that it kind of reveals something that would take place after the church going up. That the church goes up on the third chapter of Revelation and does not return until the 19th chapter of Revelation. See, therefore the church misses the tribulation. He said that was contrary to pretty near every teacher that he knew of. Because all mankind thought that. This old holdover from the Catholic Church. Trying to find a purgatory to purge us or something to do. But now notice what he said. The church goes up. Revelation's third chapter. In other words, the end of the third chapter. Then you're going to read it. The church goes up in the fourth chapter. Now you're going to, well, did it go up to third or did it go up to fourth? The ending of the third is the opening of the fourth. If you'd ever one time study the seals on that line. If you'd ever study the seals on that one line. I thought the prophet said the seals was like building a set of steps. Now, wouldn't it be something, Brother Gary, to say, well, okay, now we're going to bypass the bottom. We're going to start with step three. I tell Brother Gary that, and I want you to build me some steps. But I want you to leave off the two bottom ones. He said, well, I can do it. But I'm going to have to start on the seventh and come down. Because I ain't got nothing to hold it up. Right? See, so the end of the first seal is when the second seal opened. The end of the second seal is when the third seal opened. The bride goes up in the end of the last verse of Revelations 3:22, I think it is. She goes up, which would be the opening of the next, because it's the very next step. Because it's calling it up, see? 4:1 is calling it up. Are you understanding? You're ending on 3:22. Because 4:1 is you going up. All right? To see something. See, that ties together the whole entire Bible. So watch what he says now. Well, let's go to number 12. This is the fifth seal, 1963, 3:22, paragraph 12, paragraph 87. But the reason that he reveals that, as I understand, that it is because the mystery of the book of redemption, as far as the Antichrist being revealed, now that's the ending of the fourth seal. This is in the fifth seal. The ending of the fourth seal is showing the Antichrist revealed. And you're going through and you'll see that it covers the church is gone, see, right here. And at the same time, the church is gone. And these things don't even happen in the church age at all. Now, that ought to be enough anchor to hold anybody. The seals and the things after, we're going to read exactly where they happen with the next quote. That's right, they're away from the church age. The church absolutely is raptured at this time. The church goes up in the fourth chapter of Revelation and does not return until it comes back with its king in the 19th chapter. But these seals here are revealing what has been, what is, and what will be. And now what was to be for the church age was revealed by these seals. The seals revealed what's going to happen in the church ages. All right? Look at the next one. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ, 1960, 1204, the morning service. Paragraph 24. I do all of that because some people are hearing tapes. They can see it over there. But somebody hearing tapes. You ought to have seen us a while ago. Joe and them were set up with the quotes for the evening service. I gave them to them this morning. I happen to think, I better go get something straight. I'm going to go out there and call for a quote and I ain't going to get it. I go in the office. I said, Brother Joe, we're going to take over number 8 and go from there. He said, is that number 8 in the evening service? No, that's number 8 in the morning service. So, you know, you got to get everything straight. So when I call off these things, just bear with me calling the places or the things, you know. All right. Like somebody out there listening to tape don't know what you're talking about. Now, Revelation. All right, this is paragraph 24. The first three chapters deals with the church. Then the church disappears. We see it no more until the end time. Watch. From Revelation 1 to 3 is the church. Right. Revelation 4 to 19 is Israel, a nation. And 19 to 22 is both together. Right. In the plagues and the warnings and so forth, at the end, set in three parts, and we're taking the first three chapters pertaining to the church. Right. So there's an order. You know, exactly how it's placed. All right. See, then the bride is no problem then to think the bride goes up. Okay, go on to the next one. That was a 12A. If you look in, some of you got the extra notes. You had to get an extra piece of paper. This is the fifth seal, 1963, 322, paragraph 218. And now far at this time, if you'll notice this fifth seal being opened. Now this is the opening of the fifth seal. See, the church is gone. It's just can't be the souls under the early church. Now please, if you ever did give this attention, give attention now. So this is a great controversy. So I want you to listen real close now. You got your papers and things, write it down, and I want you to notice. Now, these cannot be them souls, right? Because the souls of the righteous martyred, talking about the bride, right? The righteous people, the church, the bride, has done been took up. So they wouldn't be under the altar. They'd be in glory with the bride. Now, watch. For they are gone in the rapture in the fourth chapter of Revelation. They was taken up. Now, who are these souls? In other words, who are these others? It's Israel under the fifth seal, right? But you see, there's no problem dealing with the fifth seal and the sixth seal to try to push it away and say that it's not to the bride, because the fifth seal souls under the altar, sixth seal is the tribulation. And everybody runs along and says, well, what about the seventh? That's us. No. Let me say it in a way that maybe you'll understand. The opening of the seals is the revealing of Jesus Christ in the bride. Because he just told you that we miss the tribulation. He just told you under the fifth seal that that's not us, the souls under the altar. So we're already gone. It's a revealing of Jesus Christ in his bride. Come on. Look at the next. This is on the Feast of the Trumpets, 1964, 719, the morning service, paragraph 36, 37. Now begin to notice that the preaching of the seven church ages, which is the pattern or the forecast of all that God was going to do with the churches, and through the churches and positionally setting them up. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation revealed all the happenings unto the church. Then from the third chapter unto the 19th chapter of Revelation, there is no more seen of the church. Now remember, he's talking about bride. He's not saying church like worldly church. He's talking about bride. He calls her church, all right? That's fine. No more seen of the church. The church goes up at the fourth chapter of Revelation and returns back to the 19th chapter. That's when we ride back with him, you know, coming on white horses. The bride and the groom together coming to the earth. And then from the 19th chapter to the conclusive of the 22nd chapter, it's all on the millennium and what will be in the years that is to follow. During the 4th to the 19th, God is dealing with Israel. All right. Now, if that be true, what would be the problem of understanding that the seals are not to us. The revelation of the seals are to us. I don't want to ride over there and see what happens in the tribulation, do you? I don't even want to be nowhere around it. And I certainly wouldn't want to go even to see the fifth seal martyred Jews. Brother Brown said it was the Jews from the time of back there carrying away. He said, the time of Christ. And come over to the time of Christ. Let me get it right. The fifth seal Jew is from the time of Christ and the crucifixion down through the dark ages of the time they've had. All right. That's your fifth seal Jew. All right. Those that have been given their lives. I wouldn't want to visit that, would you? Why can't church that we just simply sit down and read the Bible, as I said this morning, to find ourselves and find what God is thinking about us? Sure, there's a lot of problems in there. Like I've always said, do you think, Brother Brown said this, do you think those Jews would have wrote about Abraham giving his wife away, lying and everything else? No, they're too staunch of a Jew. They're too proud of their lineage. See? But they had to write it. Those prophets had to write what God gave them. See? Sure, John sees in the church ages, as I said the other day, the bad side. But that's all we look at. Well, that's right. It shows us where we're at. Like one brother here in this church one time, he said, I see myself as that first seal and that white horse rider. And he said, then it comes on over to the fourth and I get straightened out. I said, if you see yourself as a white horse rider, you're lost. Well, you know, naturally that really thrilled his feelings. You know about that. I mean, that really thrilled him for me to say that to him. You know. But if you think you're the white horse rider, then you're lost. Because there's two sets of beasts. There's the Theron, and then there's the beast that's called the bride. Remember, the four combat beasts was down through the church ages. It's the bride of Christ. That's the combat. Right. But see, the Theron beasts are untamable. There's no way to control them. Why would you want to see yourself as uncontrollable? Oh, of course, it's a great revelation. I was once uncontrollable, and then I got converted. Now I'm controllable. Well, you can beat a horse until it'll love you. But be careful, it'll kick you one day when it gets a change. But if you love it, it'll fight for you. It loves you. Difference in beast. So the bride goes up in Revelation 4:1. And she's not seen no more till 19:21 when she rides back with him. Then why do we want to think that we're over there? Why do we want to study the seals or anything to try to see how bad we are? I thought we were to read the book to find out how good we are. But our problem is we're trying to find out how good we are by trying to be good ourselves. Remember, it is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. That's Bible. He's the one that's made us perfect. Why is it? You and I, as the natural people, no matter how good we are, we deserve to go to the tribulation. We deserve to go to hell. As best that we could do. You see, he made a way that we don't have to. He made a way we don't have to go through the tribulation. And I've tried to get you to see that even if you look at the John writing to the chapter 2 and 3 of the church age, sure he writes to the bad. Sure he writes that there's even spirits and things like that in the ages. And that. But then he never ends it until he writes about the overcomer. and how perfect she is. Why would we want to think about being in the tribulation? Well, Brother Dale, we got that right now. Brother Brown said we're not going through the tribulation. But I just can't see that other part about the seals. Well, why not? Well, to me, the seals reveal the Antichrist. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus Christ. No man can call Jesus the Christ except it be by the Holy Spirit. That's why one of these days you'll realize what that prophet was saying. Like Brother Ray said, you start off with the first seal. Brother Brown said the seals break. But then he goes to individuality. See, there's only one seal. Six of the seals broke in Jesus Christ, and he preached them in the Bible. There was only one seal to be revealed in the end time. It was the Holy Spirit. He's the only revealer of the Word. See? Sure, we look at and we see the seals and the ages and the thing, but what about us being able to hear now? See that the man of sin will be sitting in the temple of God showing himself to be as God in the tribulation. And yet you and I can see it now before it ever takes place. They're arguing now over, even in the message, of where there ain't supposed to be no more popes than this last one. Because he's supposed to be number so-and-so. Well, I don't even know how many they're saying because I forgot how many it was. There's supposed to be so many popes. And this next guy coming up is supposed to be the last one. Because number-wise. Well, could that be the same thing that everybody said we had to go in a rapture in 1973? Could it be the same way? What does it matter to me who the Pope is? The Pope I'm worried about is that Nicolaitan spirit that is trying to conquer the laity and to conquer the ministry. That's where ministers think, well, bless, that Nicolaitan conquer the laity. Don't conquer me. No, it's already got you. It's already got you. Why? Because you're sitting right in the middle of an Antichrist system. Believe in the doctrines of this message. No, you don't have to worry about the devil getting you. He's already got you. But you see, church, God shows us that we don't have to go through no tribulation. He sends us concrete proof because he takes us up before it takes place. And then we're not in there anywhere until Revelation 19. You know where we're at? We're up in glory. You know what Brother Branham said about it one day? He was talking about the Jews and 144,000. I'm sure it's probably in the sixth seal, but he's talking about it. He said, while we're up there at the marriage supper. Now you explain this one, but that's what he says. He said he'll slip back. He'll leave us there and slip back down here and reveal himself to the Jews. Now, we're going to be running around for 3.5 years looking for him. Nah. Figure of speech. Figure of speech. See? You know, the corporal body is laying on the throne. The Spirit of God is down here with us. Is it dead? Nope. He's real busy. You want scripture? He's real busy. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Brother Branham on the Future Home said he's up there right now preparing a place for you and I. But I thought the Holy Spirit was down here and the body's up there, so it'd have to be lifeless. That's what you're thinking. That's why you need to get rid of your carnality. You're talking about God and His ways. Because He doesn't come down physically to reveal Himself to the Jews. Wait a minute, where'd you get the nail prints? No, they see Him by revelation. He doesn't come back physically to the earth until the millennial reign. Right? So then when He reveals Himself to the Jews, it won't be a corporal body. We'll still be right there willing and having a good time at the marriage supper. You know what Brother Brown said that they would do? He said that he'd wipe the tears of our eyes and say, well done, at the marriage supper. What are we going to be crying in heaven? Sadness or happy? You know, a lot of people get happy, they start crying. Right? They just start crying. Tears just be flowing. They'd be just dying laughing. Why? Because they're happy. But listen, church. This is the only point I want to get across because I don't want to enter the next one. But you read Revelations 4. There's going to be a throne. But read it real careful. Brother Brown speaks of the seventh seal, and he said, Revelation 8:1 is the scene, S-C-E-N-E, scene of the seventh seal, where nothing else is not revealed, he said. A scene. If we take the book of Revelation and think of the symbolics and think of the scene that we're talking about. Like I said, John looks up to see, and he writes of an open door, but he saw Jesus. Now you're going to have to enter into heaven for the next scene to open. And the scenes of heaven only open one scene at a time, just like a play unfolds. The next one unfolds. Read Revelation 4:1, you'll see what I'm talking about. When John goes up, he mentions again that he gets in the Spirit. Just like he did when he started back over here in Revelation 1. And he saw a throne. You know, that's all he saw. But a scene unfolds. And he saw one sitting on the throne. See, don't worry about it because God hasn't revealed everything to you and I. At one time, we couldn't take it. We couldn't stand it humanly. He unfolds what we have need of. He shows us a scene. We just wait and let the prophet tell us what that is. But John saw a throne after he got in heaven. He wasn't on earth looking for a throne. He was in heaven. Then he saw one on the throne. Then he saw a rainbow about the throne. Then he saw 24 elders. It just keeps unfolding. Is that not the acts of a play? A movie that you see? But just remember, in Revelation 4:1, all that you're seeing in between there is going to be related to, and we showed it, to Israel. You see why Brother Branham said he was going to Israel. You remember that? You remember that he was going to Israel. Brother Branham was going to Israel. He already had his ticket and everything. The people come to him. Remember deep calls to the deep when the two men came to him? They said, well, your ministry, Brother Branham, the Jews will accept it. Remember in the video? He was headed that way. Had his ticket. He landed in one place over there, and they were going around looking. While they were going around looking, I guess, the Lord spoke to him and said, come on behind the hangar or something, I want to talk to you. He said, the iniquity of the Amorites is not fulfilled yet. You can't go. You know why he couldn't go? You realize if he'd went, Israel would have accepted it right there. In the providence of God, you and I wouldn't have been part of it. Oh. Brother Hal was old enough to be back there with in Brother Brown's ministry somewhere maybe close to where that he made those statements of trying to go. Well, that'd make him being the only one in the building would have an opportunity. I don't believe that, do you? He said, the iniquity of the Amorites is not fulfilled. He said, don't go. He turned and went down through Cairo, Egypt, I guess, or something, and went out. What do you think those people thought when he said, I can't go? Oh, Brother Branham, why? We done got the tickets, got everything ready. He said, can't go. If he'd have went there with a Messiah sign, what do you think they would have done? Why? Because all that's over there is just books and tapes. It's messages in Israel. I've actually viewed it when, not in Israel, but we viewed it off of where Brother Perry Green actually put this message in Brother Brown's picture on the news media there. But they're not going to accept it. God, it's not their time. It's yours and our time. But it's the time to understand who we are and what we're doing here. But only those with the Holy Spirit will get a full understanding of what's going on. And to see. Because others that don't have will just argue. Well, Brother Dale, what do you mean? You leaving Brother Branham out of this because you said we was going up 4-1 and wasn't seen no more. I didn't say that. Brother Branham did. Get your mind in the correct order first. I quoted what he said. But by revelation, we're to see the blood of Jesus Christ is going to take us in the rapture one day. And we don't have to go to no tribulation. Because the next thing this world strikes after the rapture of this bride is a tribulation. You think this is a problem? That'll be the wrath of God when the Bible says they'll even pray to die. They'll cry for the rocks to fall on them and hide them. But we're in the time of where it's a pre-tribulation. What about 6 million Jews killed in a pre-tribulation? Right? Under Eichmann and Hitler now? But what about over in here? The whole world's going to be deceived by the Antichrist. And like I've tried to tell you years ago about it, it's not the UN that goes after the two witnesses to kill them and the 144,000. It's the Jews. Right back where they were when they were killing the apostles and things, the natural Israel is going to go after that 144,000 and kill them. Because the natural Israel will be in a covenant with the Antichrist. That's how deceiving he will be. But you and I can't be deceived. If we're deceived, we're lost. That's just the best way to put it. We're lost. At least we ought to be able to say, you're not saying what Paul said. But Brother Brown said he'd be glad the people would come to that place. But think on these things. We miss the tribulation. We miss the wrath of God being poured out. Because we're done gone in the rapture. But now, to sum it up, what I'm trying to say, but we're the bride. And by being the bride, God has unfolded the entire book. Even from where we are throughout all the rest of the world, even told us about the future home and all of the things by way of the prophet message. The symbols are all broken to where we can understand. The bride is no longer a symbol. She's a reality. Let's come ahead, musicians. Let's stand. Think on these things. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. We get the whole book to be able to read it and have the Holy Spirit to bring it to us and make it manifest. What a wonderful message you and I have had in the reality to see who we are and what we're doing here. You know that we're here to overcome the devil. If we're going to sit with him, we'll get to it Wednesday night. If we're going to sit with him in his throne, we've got to sit with the Father in his throne first. Before we can sit in his throne. Then we got to overcome. We got to be raptured up, caught up out of our carnality. You say, well, how can we ever be right? Well, I thought the Bible said that every born again believer was resurrected, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what I thought the Word said. So what is it? What do we got, brother? 280. Number 80 in the Red Book. Anybody have a need?
There's a blessed
time that's coming soon. At noon. Anybody have a need? The wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King when he comes. Right? We shall see the King. We shall see the King. The Bible said they that know their God shall do exploits. Know their God. Those that are be called according to his purpose. What about it? Should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? Just believe. Father, our little buddy's got something for somebody else he's wanting. We send this prayer cloth, whether they'll take it or not. It's still a contact. And we want to see it straightened out, because our little buddy wants to see it straightened out. He wants to see what the right done. And we do too. Now we ask you in Jesus' name to honor our little buddy's faith and bring it to pass. Anybody else? Kingdoms of this world shall soon be for him fall. We shall see the King when he comes. Sing it unto him. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Think about it. Brother Brown said, when you begin to see the Word, you're seeing Jesus. Haven't you seen a door opened in heaven for you? You know a door's been opened for you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Right into heaven? And all you got to do is just walk therein? Yeah, but I just don't see how we can do it. We can't. He opened the door and He invited us to come. That new birth is an open door to heaven. And for everybody have a need. I will reign with Thee. All hail, King Jesus. All hail, King Jesus. You got to go at 10:30. Our sister's got to go tomorrow, 10:30, right? Wednesday, 10:30 for some tests. So, as we prayed about Sister Gabby, and God made all things well, that they'd already told them that sounded like they had a hole in the heart. Why are we going to worry? Okay? Let's just believe. Father, You just be with our sister and let all things be well. She goes through this and it'll all be well. They'll tell her and then everything will be great. We love You. We thank You, Father. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? She's just simply believing. Just simply believing. Believe what God says. All hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, the bright morning star. And throughout eternity, I'm going to pray. And forevermore. Remember now to the brothers and the kids and all that's going to the fishing to meet downstairs. We'll wait for just a few minutes after the service where we'll be doing, you know, and getting everything ready. I enjoy doing it. I went up, we did last year and had a wonderful time, looking forward again. And Brother Gary and I got up there and got the tent all set up. He went one way fishing and I went the other. I thought I caught maybe one or two or something. You know, I didn't hardly even fish the rest of the time. I just sit around camp because there's always somebody coming back from going fishing. Right? I mean, you're right there in the middle of going up and down. They were just always coming. Well, I just sat there and just had me a good time, poked the fire, and I didn't really care where I fished or not. And I loved to fish, but I didn't really care because I just had a good time sitting around talking and there's always been somebody to talk to. For some of you that don't want to fish, you know, just come up. Drive up there. You don't want to spend a night? You're afraid, as Wade said, the bears? You know? I'll let you sleep in my camper and I'll sleep out under the stars. You know? Kids generally get it, but that's, you know. We do everything we can to keep away from any trouble, but just have a good time fellowshipping. So if you get a chance, just drive up there. And just sit around with us. And you can drive back and leave. You know. But we have a good time doing it. So just remember that. Father, we thank You for Your love and Your grace unto us. And we pray that what we said today has been worthy of being said. We ask You now that You would just go with us as we leave, Lord, and take care of everybody on the highway. Just give everybody. Be with each one. Remember Your little bride around the world and the ones that we've prayed for and the ones in jail, the ones being persecuted, the different things happening, Lord. We're not at that position here, but it's coming. But yet you'll have us all ready whenever time's done. Lord, just bless and guide each one. Have your way, Lord. Just keep us. Restore Rick back unto us, Lord, in the right condition. We thank you and we love you, Lord. We just ask you to have your way now in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.
Be blessed.